It's TechNori Tuesday, and not just Podcast Tuesday, it's Showcase Tuesday. Join us tonight at Chase Auditorium at 6 p.m. and meet our keynote, Tom Sosnoff, one of Chicago's most well-known entrepreneurs, the co-founder of TastyTrade.com, Dough.com, and Thinkorswim, which he sold to TD Ameritrade in 2009 for like $600 million. I believe he bought a lot of berets with that money. He's a funny guy, and you guys can meet him and talk to him about fintech and many other things. Beyond that, we've got four great startups presenting, including Rent Like a Champion, which is invested in on Shark Tank by Mark Cuban and my favorite, the cowboy shirt-wearing Chris Sacca. And if that's not enough incentive, come watch me attempt to pitch alongside of these startups when I introduce TechNori 2.0. Today, our website launched. We're going to be having a big launch party after the event, so do check that out. You're going to have to download the Reveal app, which you'll learn more about tonight. And please check out our website now. It's TechNori.com. Did I mention Rent Like a Champion? Speaking of which, its CEO, Mike Doyle, is here in studio with me. I'm Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live. Mike, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me,
I should say
Scott.
Welcome back. It's a different show than it was when you were last year, but also happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you very much. What a day, huh?
I was thinking about having everyone come in and sing you happy birthday, but I felt like...
I don't know about that.
Maybe we'll do that tonight.
There you go. Yeah,
are you excited about tonight?
All my all the team members have been saying they're going to raise hands in the Q&A just to make sure people know it's my birthday.
Please do.
So I'm sure
please
it'll happen.
Please do. I'm going to try to get the entire audience to sing happy birthday to you, and we'll make sure we get that on tape because obviously that would be great. So you've pitched on Shark Tank before, obviously. Which is in front of millions of people. I wish I could say that this is in front of millions of people.
Well, but in person, it's like 12, right?
I was going to say, yeah. But it's not in front of a live audience. So
right.
How does it feel, or how did you, as you know, a lot of companies and startups are trying to pitch and get in front of people. Rarely do they have an opportunity like TechNori to get in front of hundreds of people. But what is it like to prepare and to get yourself mentally ready to pitch when you know that there's hundreds of people right in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess try not to, you know, we've been trying not to think about that too much. You don't want to kind of get in your own
head.
And, get in your own head and psych yourself out. But, you know, I mean, we just viewed it as really a great opportunity to kind of get the word out about who we are and what we do. You know, that's a very, I feel like the people who go to TechNori are the type of people who we want to know about us and kind of to know what we're up to. So it really just seems like a great opportunity, but, it, you know, we're trying to have fun with it. We don't want to kind of psych ourselves up too much, but psych ourselves out too much, I guess I should say. But yeah, you know, we're really looking forward to it. It should be a fun night.
I have no doubt that it's going to be a great show, and I have no doubt that you guys are going to be fantastic. Like you said, it is a perfect, in my opinion, it's a perfect brand, a perfect tool for our audience, particularly now that we're starting to broaden our audience and reach people that are, you know, more enthusiast and less like just your tech developer and so forth.
Sure.
But for those who have not watched you on Shark Tank, which in this community there can't be that many left that listen to this show as well that have missed you, what is Rent Like a Champion?
Sure. So Rent Like a Champion is a vacation rental platform that allows sports fans to rent homes near big events around the country. And, you know, I think it was actually exactly almost a year ago that I was on the show last. And we've kind of broadened our niche a little bit where when we started, we were really dead set on just college football towns and just, you know, college campuses. And that's still our bread and butter, but we've kind of started widening out a bit. I think a lot of that has come at the urging and pushing of Mark and Chris. Yep. We're now doing NASCAR events. We're doing PGA events. We had about 50 people staying in our homes last month for the Ryder Cup up in Minnesota. So, you know, we don't want to try to be everything for everyone because then you're going head to head with the big guys. But at the same time, you know, we think there are more places where our model works than just college football towns.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're painting a broader brush, so broad that it is, in fact, going right over top of Evanston, which I brought up before. I probably brought up when you were on the first time. And I actually get it. I mean, when the college... Well, I take that back. I don't get it. Evanston as a town is not the most party... college football town you've ever been to. But when Nebraska comes in, when Indiana, when Michigan State, when Michigan, when Penn State, when they come in, Ohio State, they paint the town red.
Yeah.
So, right. I mean, there is an opportunity there. This is me selling it to you as hard
as
I can.
Yeah, yeah. No, we definitely, you know, we're definitely not writing off Evanston. I think our thought has been just from people we've spoken to, at least, it seems that when a lot of those teams come in, they kind of use it as, you know, clearly they want to go to the game.
It's an ashtray.
It's
also, that's what they use it as.
No. I was going to say, also an excuse to visit Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Where they're, you know, they're staying downtown. And,
it's only like 30 minutes. That's the thing, right? It's only
right.
like 30 minute train ride from, you know, on the metro to get from downtown
right.
here.
There's
to
no shortage of hotels in Chicago. And where our model really works is towns like, you know, South Bend or State College or Ann Arbor, where on game weekends, you know, hotels within like a 40-mile radius are totally sold out, and that's kind of where it, you know.
You don't think you could come up with, like, I don't know, maybe a range of maybe three places for me to be able to stay at Evanston?
Well, we'll see what we can do. We'll see if we can hook something up.
I just want to be able to drink in the grass on the golf lot and then not have to worry about driving home. That's all I'm looking for.
Walk home. All right, well, we'll see what we can do. We'll put together a task force.
I think I told you this last time. I used to have an apartment on Central, right across from the stadium. It was literally like, I mean, I could throw a rock.
That'd be perfect.
Hit the stadium. It was fantastic. If you could just find whoever's living there and
track
kick them
down
the
tenants, you can relive the glory days.
I relive the glory days every day. But as a point, though, with the broadening, I think the golf thing, I mean, obviously NASCAR is a no-brainer to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about NASCAR. At home, I call them Nassholes. I'm sure that you don't want to call them Nassholes because you're trying to market to them. But the golf thing I do get. And I think of like the BMW Championship.
Yeah.
Almost, well, not just that. I mean, almost every golf one, most golf courses are in sort of a secluded area or like they're not urban area just based on, you know, the needs. So if you're coming in to see the BMW, you have absolutely no place to stay. And it's four days you want to go to because the reality is, like, for example, when they were at Conway Farms, there was a different event, different things, meeting the player opportunities, drinking events,
pro-ams,
car events, pro-ams. Yeah, there's so much stuff that goes on for 4 days. And so if I had the opportunity to stay there and do it, I would do it. But I'm not going to drive, you know, 60 or 70 minutes to get there for one, 4 days in a row, I should say.
In one way, we've kind of, it's been, you know, fun and exciting for us. One way we've kind of, I guess, springboarded into that marketplace is by actually partnering directly with the tournament directors to help with the golfers themselves. So, you know, we started with the John Deere Classic in the Quad Cities, and essentially what happens when, you know, Jordan Spieth wants to rent a house because he's showing up on Tuesday for a practice round and he's there till Sunday or Monday.
That's hundreds of people every single event.
Yeah. You know, most events are 140-ish golfers plus the caddies,
plus family,
plus the vendors.
Caddies, exactly.
And if these golfers want to rent houses, they call the tournament director, and the tournament director's job is to make the golfers happy.
Mm-hmm.
So the tournament director is then trying to figure out, okay, I have to find a house for him, I have to deal with payments, I have to deal with contracts, when he or she should be focused on throwing a professional golf tournament.
Yep.
So, you know, we've been really fortunate in that we kind of got in with the John Deere Classic was our first tournament director that we worked with, and it's a very small community. You know, there's only 40 or so events throughout the year, and they talk to each other. And, you know, when we started pitching to other tournaments, hey, we're solving this problem for these guys, it was kind of like dominoes started falling. So that's been...
That, to me, seems like such a nice little revenue push for you guys, where if it blows up and you can get people like me who are going to the games or the events, great.
Yeah,
but
we'd
really
love to get
set.
The general fans eventually. But our thought is, you know, let's start with the players. It's hyper-focused. And the nice thing is that, you know, we're this two-sided marketplace, and by partnering with the tournament directors, the demand, to an extent, is taken care of. They're sending us golfers. So we just, I'd say just, it's not that easy, but, you know, we go sign up homes.
And it's not low-rent places. This isn't like your, it's not like College Town where you might be able to get a space for, you know, a couple $100. This is going to be thousands of dollars because these people have expectations of nice homes and nice whatever, which I don't remember specifically your profit model, but I suspect that there's some tie to the
we take a percentage. So obviously higher rentals is you know, great for us. And these, you know, average in a football town is around 1600. In these golf tournaments so far, you know, when we're running the players, it's been $4,000 to $6,000 kind of on average for a week. And we've had some even, you know, higher than that. It's a nice little, like you said, for now it's kind of a nice little thing to have going on the side when college football's slow. But hopefully eventually for some of these big tournaments, we start getting calls from, you know, the corporate sponsors and just fans who want to attend the event.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's, I think, obviously lends itself right over to the NASCAR conversation, because that, I make fun of the Nassholes, but the reality is it is a huge business.
Oh, it's wild, yeah.
And they are, it's like a flash flood of humans for a weekend. They go into wherever the hell it is, and it is just insanity.
Yeah, we one of the, you know, so we actually similarly, you know, we realized what we're doing with golf, and we're like, well, can we do something similar with NASCAR? So we started talking with NASCAR teams, because each car, until recently I didn't know a ton about NASCAR, full disclosure, but each car has a team of, you know, 20 plus people who are traveling with it.
Same thing as golf.
Exactly. So we started talking to the teams about, well, can we help you guys find lodging? And they kind of told us, okay, these are the tracks you need to focus on first. Brooklyn, Michigan is, you know, right in the middle of Michigan. It's 40 miles west of Ann Arbor. They have one hotel in town, and then the next closest hotel is, you know, 30 miles away.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, 80 to 100,000 people who go to two races there a year. So it's insanity, and they just have nowhere to stay. So even, you know, it's funny, I was talking to some of the teams, and I was like, well, you know, we can try to sign up homes in Brooklyn. We have 70 homes in Ann Arbor, but that's 30 miles away. And he cut me off right there. He said, well, we're staying farther away than that already. So
yeah,
those are great. Let's take a look at those. So yeah, I mean, that's the hope, is that start, you know, expanding into those NASCAR towns.
And I mean, and you look at that, like the NASCAR thing, like we, those of us like yourself and me who don't really know NASCAR or didn't, you know, grow up with NASCAR, we think of Daytona, Indy 500, like we think of the major events.
Right.
There is a different event almost every day of the week throughout NASCAR. So if you're signed on to a team with, say, Tony Stewart or whatever, you know he's doing buggy races down the street. And then the next one, well, hopefully he's not because he ran over somebody last time. But not to go that way. But like they have a team of four or five different racers underneath each car and each brand. And so they're in different stuff literally every day of the week. Well,
and their season is, you know, their off season is like 6 weeks. Yeah. It's essentially a 12-month
year. It feels like they're
sport.
Always – I'm always listening to like the NASCAR points thing on ESPN. It's like, when does this end?
Yeah, I think it's like – I think they end sometime in late November and then they start up again in January. So it's pretty much nonstop. And like, you know, a lot of these tracks have at least two races a year. But then even on non-race weekends, they have, you know, concert festivals and other big events because it's this huge arena that they, you know, don't want to just sit empty.
They've got, well, I mean, that now they're doing NASCAR events and having football games before and even like stuff like that. It's just the amount of, well, what do? You have 100,000 people stampede into a random town for a weekend. You got to do something.
Yeah, they had that football game at the Bristol Speedway in September, I think Tennessee and Virginia Tech. And we didn't get into Bristol before that, unfortunately. Yep. But yeah, I think it was 110,000.
It was the most ever. Yeah, it was the most ever. I think it was even more than 110.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was 120 plus.
I think that's an Ohio State plays Miami of Ohio game. That's 110,000 people. But very cool. So I guess, you know, one of the other things I kind of wanted to talk to you about is sort of off of the Rent Like a Champion and more on the personal entrepreneurial level. When you came into Rent Like a Champion, you were not one of the original founders.
That's right. Yeah. I have three partners. They had started the company about 3 years before I, you know, joined up and started working with them.
So this is sort of something that I'm personally dealing with right now. Obviously, Technoir was founded by Seth Kravitz in 2010. Sure. He drove it for, you know, 5.5 years or so. And now coming on as a CEO, there's the, you know, launching the new website, we're launching an app, we're changing direction to where there's a little bit of digital and things like that. And well, obviously a lot of digital, not just things like that. You are similar in this, that you came into something that was a very great idea. It had lots of potential. There was already headways moving and so forth, but then you had your own sort of vision and execution style. How did you find your early sort of adaptation to this work? Like how did it work from your angle? Like being able to actually come in and make the changes you wanted,
right?
And the angle of how your original founders received you.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been kind of a work in process, and I feel like each year I do this, my job shifts pretty dramatically. And so the original three guys, so Drew, Jordan, and Derek, this was kind of a side project. No one was working on it full time, and I was really drawn to it when I was a student in South Bend, and I kind of pitched him on this idea of, you know, can you give me a couple bucks and see if I can go take this out to Penn State? It worked there, and I've said, I think, time and time again that I started doing this full time as a CEO, you know, full-time employee right after I graduated. And if those guys hadn't been as involved as they were, you know, there would have been multiple times we probably would have crashed and burned. You know, they all stayed in an advisory kind of board capacity where, you know, now we're meeting every couple months. But, you know, my first year out of school, I was talking with them all the time, you know, weekly, if not multiple times a week. And I think having them kind of in that advisory type role where it is a delicate balance because, and they did it very, very well where, you know, they let me steer the ship. They weren't kind of, you know, meddling, I guess, or trying to micromanage. But at the same time, they were always there to hop in if I needed them to, or to give advice on things. So I think it's kind of, you know, balancing that a little bit. And it's interesting, this kind of expansion that we're seeing now into golf events and NASCAR events. We've talked about this for years, you know, and it's always been kind of a struggle with us. We never knew exactly, okay, when's the time right to back off this core competency of just football and start doing more. And, you know, I don't know if it was like a light bulb moment or what, but all of a sudden, you know, we had bandwidth, we had more resources, we had more team members, where it started to make
sense. A few namely investors.
Yeah, right. And, you know, and so it's, I've kind of, my role has shifted now where, you know, the team we hired is, you know, great. They're awesome. And they can kind of, you know, they're running the college football business. And a big chunk of my time is trying to identify and execute on these, you know, these new verticals.
Yeah. I mean, I see a similar thing for us. Obviously, we just brought in a bunch of producers who are now overseeing a lot of the digital stuff, which you're seeing coming out today.
Yeah.
And I can focus on what we're going to be announcing tonight, which is a little here for anyone who's listening now. You'll want to come learn more tonight about the equity crowdfunding side of things we're working on. And that's sort of where my focus is right now. One of the things that has been a, I don't want to say a challenge. I've been fortunate. Seth is incredibly helpful and has been very like, here's everything. Here's the key, right?
Right.
Like, here, go. But there is a challenge, I think, for a lot of entrepreneurs, particularly like yourself and me, jumping on companies that have already been founded by someone else, that there's a, you know, do you own it? Do you feel like you own the brand? You know what I mean? I don't mean like actually on paper.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you own the brand and you wear it like the person who founded it? And do you sometimes feel like I have a vision for where Technori should go? And I have a little bit of, I don't know what, I want to say hesitation, calling Seth and being like, listen, I think you should have done this before, but you didn't. So now I'm going to do it. And I'm owning it. Like the new website goes up today. I feel like I'm so proud about that.
Right.
I really don't know what Seth is going to say when he opens it up today. And there's a little, you know.
Well, I mean, I feel like if he's, you know, he's not going to hand over the keys to someone who he thinks is going to mess it up.
Sure,
right?
But so. Like you feel like when Rent Like a Champion, it's like your own, like if you create it, if you were the one who came up with the whole thing, it's like your child.
Sure.
And for you, when you come back on, it's like, I don't want to say adopt because I don't know, I don't want to offend anybody, but it's like adopting the thing. And then are you able to step in, or were you, it seems like you were able to step in and be like, you know what, Rent Like a Champion is mine as if I had created it on my own.
Yeah. I think with us, you know, in my situation, I think our kind of visions, myself and my partners, you know, we were aligned. We were kind of thinking about it the same way.
Yeah.
We had the same end goal. So it's not like there was this, you know, they wanted to go this way and I wanted to go the total opposite
direction. Well,
yeah,
it never would have worked in that case.
Exactly, yeah. So I think, and because it was, you know, when I kind of joined up, we were really just doing this in South Bend. We had, you know, 100, 150 homes in South Bend. So it was clicking, but, you know, now we're at 3,000 homes in 100 different towns. So
it's doing so great. It's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. It's just kind of, you know, when I joined up, I feel like it was early enough that I was still able to kind of get my fingerprints on it, if that makes sense.
Totally. And that's where, from my end, I've sort of rebranded and say we're going Technori 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Seth had a mission. He set out to hit that goal. And in 5 years, he hit that goal.
Right.
Now we just have a new mission because, Chicago's tech scene is in a new place now.
Yeah.
So, it's sort of like we hit our mission, which was to nail college football. We got that model built. And now we're just going to keep growing it.
Now you're bumping up to the next level.
But now we got it to the next level.
Yeah.
Very cool. The reason I ask all this and sort of bringing this up is because with the sort of similar to what I just mentioned with the growth of the Chicago tech community, there are now incubators, as you know, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's companies, they've been on here, J7 from L Street Collaborative. There's a handful of other ones that have been on here. Snap Mobile's another one that started their own development companies and now are spinning off their own products.
Mm-hmm.
And they are basically the creation, the mind and intellectual property, for lack of a better term, behind the products, but they are now finding CEOs. They're going out and finding who's going to run this company, who's the right person.
Type
exactly.
Thing, yeah.
It's a CEO for hire, but they're giving them equity, and it's essentially your keys drive the car.
Right.
But with that is that challenge of, does that person feel a sense of ownership and feel like this is really their thing, or do they feel like a CEO for hire? And that's one of the things I think we're going to find out here in the next sort of evolution of tech companies in Chicago is it something where, does it always work like it did for you and I, or is it something where, do you think it would be hard for companies to do
that? Yeah, I would say, that, I mean, I don't know, even if it, in that instance, you know, even if it maybe necessarily the original idea and kind of the original spark wasn't you, I think if you were in there doing the execution from maybe not day one, but maybe day five, you know, I think that's where a lot of that kind of, where you really get tied to something, where you really kind of feel like, all right, my fingerprints are on this, is if you're the one, you know, you're putting all this time and effort and energy into executing on it. So I guess, you know, it probably depends on who the person is that comes in.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with your, you know, it's a sports thing. I mean, it doesn't have to always be one, but right in the beginning, it was a sports thing. So if you're into sports and you're at Notre Dame football is a big deal.
Right.
It can't be too hard to sell you on this.
Exactly.
For me, I'm already building tools and media products and things like that. So to help step in for Technori, that was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I do think it's going to be interesting, though, as we move forward with all these different companies popping up, many of them on stage. We've had companies on stage that had different founders than the actual
or
leaders than the original founders. I wonder how that will end up working out. I hopefully Hopefully they can pick guys like you and myself.
Yeah, yeah. I hope it does work out.
Well, any final questions or things you've got for tonight before you take the stage?
I don't think so. I think we're ready to go. You know, we're excited. Our team's all coming out, so really looking forward to it.
Awesome. You guys going to be at the after party for a drink? Are you going?
I think we probably will. Yeah,
gotta do one. There's a hint. It's going to come out after this, but it's at a place where you can get margaritas, and I'm always game for margaritas.
I like it,
yeah. Mike. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks a lot, Scott. Appreciate
it. Take care. This segment was brought to you by Hired.com, the official recruiting option for Technori, and it's more than 275 startups. Hired is on a mission to get everyone the job they love. Starting with in-demand tech and sales roles, they've built marketplaces that brings together highly qualified individuals with the companies who want to hire them. And now, in case you've missed it, we have officially launched our new Technori.com website. And to tell you the truth, I don't really have a better word. It's fucking amazing. So sorry, but that's what it is. So without further ado, you can stream this episode and more on technori.com. That's T-E-C-H-N-O-R-I.com. And you can stay up to date with Technori stories. You can catch our other tech bites and news. We're going to be launching a video gaming series. It'll live stream on the website as well as Facebook. Whatever it is we do, you can follow it by catching us at Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.